Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, so, hello, Puff the Magic Dragon, indeed, yes, speaking of which, it makes me feel just slightly puffy on this Monday night. Welcome, everyone, welcome to another edition of Nothing to Lose. You know, this is a show that pretty much is here to fill that void that, you know, the lack of Monday Night Football kind of gives you, Yeah, with that said, I'm going to bring on my co-host here, Mr. Michael D. Gosinski, and I don't know where my other co-host is, but Mr. Gosinski, are you there, brother? Are you there?
What's up?
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. All right. Hello. Here we are. Another Monday night.
What's up, Mike?
Nothing to lose, man. I don't know where our other co-host, Dr. Quinn, is. I don't see her in the queue, but all right, we'll roll. We'll roll forward. You know, Puff the Magic Dragon gets me excited, and, you know, I kind of feel like, I don't know, we need to, per usual, do, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance, and I got a little special audio here just for our Pledge of Allegiance. Please, Mr. Gosinski, remove your hat. I know you like to wear a hat, just like I do all the time. Remove your hat, place your hand upon your heart, and, oh, wait a second. Wait a second. Our other co-host, I think she might be here. Dr. Quinn. Dr. Quinn, are you there?
Hello, I'm here.
All right, Dr. Quinn, thank you. Glad you could make it. You made it just in time for the Pledge of Allegiance. Please remove your hat.
Fantastic.
Please remove your hat and or wig or bra and place your hand upon your breastuses and stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, here we go. Pledge of Allegiance, everyone. We've got to get this out of the way because we are all artistic patriots here. So here we go. Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty dramatic, huh? Right?
Yeah,
very,
that
very
was.
Yeah, very.
We're moving up in this world.
We are.
High-tech audio and shit. Jeez.
Yeah, it's like we're like, you know, we got a big budget going and stuff now. It's like, wow. You know, a big budget. I don't have to recite the Pledge of Allegiance myself anymore. It's like, you know, we've got the budget to actually have some audio. But yeah, wow. So speaking of, you know, big Hollywood productions and all that, wow. What do you guys think about the good old Oscars here?
Think about the Oscars?
Or Oscar the Grouch, or, you know, whatever.
Specifically,
Best Picture. What do you guys think? Best Picture, Argo. Argo.
I don't know, was it any good?
I've never seen it. I doubt I will, because it's Ben Affleck.
I saw Lincoln. I didn't see Argo. I saw Lincoln. So.
I saw Lincoln, too. Lincoln was fantastic. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, some parts of it were a bit, I don't know, not too realistic, not historically accurate.
Most of it was completely inaccurate, yes. But,
right.
It was a good film. How about Django Unchained? That should have won something.
Oh, yeah.
Other than just Christoph Waltz. I mean, they should have given more than that.
Right. Do have to give, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis props, though. I mean, he pulled that shit off.
That guy's amazing.
He's very versatile.
Would know about versatility.
I'd let the man give me an anonymous hand job in a bathroom stall somewhere for, you know, $50. But anyhow.
Wasn't Senator Larry Craig, was it? I mean, he's, you know.
But anyhow, I don't know. I to be honest, I didn't watch the Oscars. I never do. I think it's a big sham. It's almost political in a sense that you know the film.
I do believe they're officially called the Oscars now. I think they're not called the Academy Awards anymore.
Really?
I think they're officially called the Oscars now. I read that somewhere.
You read that somewhere on the internet? Because, you know, that's a great source for factual information.
Actually, it's probably, I'll confess, I have the Entertainment Weekly, the Oscars edition. You know, it's, so if you need toilet paper, I'll ship it your way.
I'm always in need of toilet paper. Because
if I
have
the... fucking afford it, you know, the post office, everything's so expensive.
Oh, time. Right, right. Yeah, shipping sucks nowadays. But, yeah, so, I mean, what about any... Michelle, do you have anything to elaborate on about the Oscars? Anything catch your attention?
Well,
or were there any, like hot dresses and stuff on the red carpet that you thought...
Well, there's always hot dresses, but
right.
I don't think you guys pay attention to that kind of stuff.
Oh, no, I don't. I don't pay attention to hot dresses and, you know, heaving cleavage or anything like that. No, no.
there were a couple of things. You know, everybody seems to have hated Seth MacFarlane.
I love Seth MacFarlane. He's my hero.
And I thought he was brilliant.
He is brilliant. The guy's a genius. He's a comedic genius.
Exactly, but everybody's freaking out that, oh, my God, he was sexist, and, you know, he made a bunch of, you know, horribly offensive jokes as if, you know, they didn't know that that's who they were getting when they hired him. But,
right,
you know.
Exactly. That's bullshit. They knew exactly what they were getting. I mean, look, the guy created and produces Family Guy and American Dad.
But on the flip side of that, I've read that a lot of people who like Family Guy and American Dad, they thought he was really, really tame and kind of blah, you know, as a host. So
he probably was.
There was only so much he could do.
Right.
If he was going to do anything,
he couldn't go completely balls out.
Right.
Well, have you ever seen him do the roast, like on Comedy Central? He plays it kind of like a straight guy, you know, he's very...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen him do the roast.
He's a straight man about it. He's hilarious, though.
He is hilarious. Did you guys see the episode of Saturday Night Live where he was the host and everything, and the skits and everything he did?
When he
did the puppet, the little puppet show he did? Oh, my skit. Oh, it was so, it was hilarious because I'm a big fan of puppets.
Didn't see that one, but his.
Yes, you are.
Nation of Ryan Lochte. Did you see that?
No.
Uh-uh.
My God, that was brilliant. It was right after Lochte won all those medals. It was great.
Huh. No,
so
I
highly recommend that.
Is there someplace we could find that, like on YouTube or something?
Hulu or YouTube, I'm guessing.
Okay.
Right. I would definitely watch that. But then there's the other thing, and we kind of, as we were going through our notes this evening, we referred to it as Cuntgate.
Yes, Cuntgate.
I would never refer to anything as Cuntgate. I get enough trouble without saying the word cunt.
Michelle, cunt is such a nasty word. I can't believe you're saying that live on the air. Why would you say something so nasty? Michelle, I don't know you anymore.
Anyway.
So explain Cuntgate.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess, well, I don't guess. I shouldn't preface things with I guess. The Onion decided that it would be funny to tweet, or they wrote a Vox story, as they want to do, but the headline, and I'm paraphrasing, was, come on, we all, something to the effect of, we all really know that Kavenjane Wallace is really a cunt. And so, of course, the internet, you know, practically exploded with the fact that The Onion called a 9-year-old little black girl a cunt.
Well, she, if it's on the internet, it must be true. She must
yes,
be probably.
It must.
Probably. Maybe she is a cunt.
So.
I'm surprised
so
you can pronounce the girl's name. How long have you been studying that name?
What, Kavenjane? I'm hoping that I wasn't butchering it as I'm trying to say it now.
Okay, because it sounds like some sort of Al-Qaeda, like alias or something.
She's probably a terrorist cunt, you see?
Wow.
Okay. Anyway, so the whole argument is, you know, is it racist, or was it just a really, really bad choice to make, regardless of, you know, whether she was black, white, or purple?
Yeah, I don't think...
Is it call a 9-year-old girl a cunt.
It's the fact that it's a 9-year-old girl, I think, is what's tasteless. Right. I don't think it has anything to do with race, religion, or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would say more sexist before I'd ever say the term racist, but yeah, I wouldn't even say sexist either.
I would just say just tasteless because it's a little girl, you know? I have a young 6.5-year-old girl, and man, you know, I'd be livid if
Who was responsible for the tweets? Was he an Aussie? Because if he's Australian, they call everybody cunt. So I've got quite a few Aussies on my Facebook, and every other word is cunt. It's not like
cunt. That's just like an everyday like term.
Yeah. So I want to know who's responsible.
It was someone from the Onion office. I don't believe it was their Australian affiliate. Nor their English, because the English are pretty good at using the word cunt, too.
English, Aussies. I mean, you know, they all sound about the same to me.
Hey, mate.
They sound pretty much the same, just a slight variation in their accent. We probably sound, you know what I find ironic is, it's so fun to make fun of the English accent, whereas I'm sure we sound like total weirdo hicks to them, you know, when they hear the American accent.
Yeah.
Shit, you know, it's. Have you ever met somebody from England who comes over and the only thing they know about Americans is like Jerry Springer? I mean,
yes.
So imagine what they think of us.
Oh, you know, I'm sure they still hold a grudge from the whole, you know, Revolutionary War shindig, but, you know, goddamn. But, you know, what do they expect? You can't win a fucking war wearing bright red coats, you know, fucking red coats are coming. The red coats are coming, you know. How can you hide behind a tree? You can't hide anywhere with a goddamn tricorn hat on and a god with feathers on it, you know, a red fucking coat. So I don't know what they were expecting there.
Well, there, I would think. I don't know.
All right. So, you know, we have some callers here. And, we have a special guest co-host tonight, the one and only Misty Rainwater Lights. And I don't know if this is her on here, but, you know, I'm going to bring her on, whoever this person is. I hope it's her. If not, it'll be an unpleasant surprise. Hello. You're
you
on the air.
You goddamn pervert. You politically incorrect motherfuckers.
Pervert. Wow, what?
It's Misty Rainwater Lights, everybody.
Oh,
nice to meet you.
The world's biggest Nicolas Cage fan.
I was going to say, this is cunt. Jesus.
Well, it's good to hear from you again, Misty Rainwater Lights. You've sort of been, I don't know, you've been going on some adventures here. People have been following you on Facebook.
I thought she was in the Bay Area, and all of a sudden she's in
Eagle Pass, Tejas. Wow, I think everybody is dying. Everyone's dying to hear about your adventures because it's kind of like you chronicle them on Facebook and everything, and everyone's like intrigued. It's like, oh my gosh, what's happening next with Misty Rainwater Lights? You know?
Yeah, I had a lot of stuff on my blog, and then my family was snooping around. Because I don't have any family members in my phone. I don't have my phone at all now because there's no coverage in Eagle Pass. But, you know,
Eagle Pass? Is it like a border town or something?
It's a border town. It's right across from Piedras Negras. Kind of southwest Texas.
Because I know northern Texas is getting pounded with snow, which is weird. I didn't know it snowed in Texas.
Oh, I've got relatives in Bridgeport, which is by the Metroplex, but I don't talk to them, and I don't watch the news. It all started on December 23rd, the night before Christmas Eve. This generous gentleman, I don't even recall his name to be honest, but this man out of the blue he comes and says he's been a fan of my writing for years, and he donates $500 to me via PayPal.
Wow.
Well, nice. I thought that I should reward him with the YouTube. I thought, oh, he's a pervert. He wants some sexy YouTube. So I put on my little red sequin slut dress and my mismatched Christmas socks and my bright red lipstick. And I went to Walgreens and bought the biggest candy cane ever seen in my life. This huge fucking candy cane. Got in my SUV.
Oh, the candy cane.
Made a YouTube
cane,
of myself sucking on the candy cane.
Yes,
for
the
this
candy
guy
cane.
To thank him for the $500, you know. And
wow.
So, I was hungry, so I went to this place called the 50-50 on Broadway there in San Antonio. So I went in for a burger and a beer, and they had like this Pulp Fiction-inspired menu. I got the Marcellus burger and the Nigger Medela, and I'm sitting there, and this Latino guy comes over and says, come join me and my sons here in the back. And I thought, oh, he's pitying me because it's here, you know, it's the holidays, I'm alone, and I look like a fucktard in this red sequin dress and these mismatched socks. So I go back and join him, and he's there with his sons. They're shooting pool, they're drinking, they're throwing back, and as it turns out, he was drunk off his ass on tequila. I didn't know it at the time. So he said, you look like a whore sitting over there in that dress. A lot of guys wouldn't have approached you, and I slapped the shit out of him, and he said, okay, that's your great pass. Don't let it happen again. And
wait,
so then I scratched him at one point.
You.
Yeah, he told me I looked like a whore sitting over there. And
after he
you
paid
know,
you $500 to...
Yeah,
wow.
No. Guys. This dude that asked her to... Okay, I got the part where... Okay, the dude at the restaurant, because he was not the dude that paid you the $500, clearly.
No.
Right.
This is just a strange guy.
Right. So you back him across the face.
This is...
And then he tells you that was your free pass?
Yes.
Did he really say that?
He really did.
Oh, my God. Wow.
We were talking,
called worse things than whore, you know. This is
oh, I've been called every name in the book. I think skank is my least favorite. I prefer whore and slut to skank.
Oh, I'd love it when people call me a slut and a skank, to be honest. I got to ask, Misty, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I saw this video of you sucking your own toes.
Yes. But see, that was
that the same guy? That have anything to do with the
Well, yes, but, you know, I've researched fetishes. I've been fascinated by the porn industry for years, and I've always been thinking of an angle, like how can I marry the small press to porn and make some profit here? I'm tired of being broke.
That's brilliant.
And so I noticed that of all my YouTubes, the one that got the most hits, over 3,000 hits, was the one of me smoking a cigarette, because there's a smoking fetish.
Men
want to see women smoking cigarettes. So I thought, well, what else could I do? Well, there are guys who get turned on by women who pop balloons. So I made one of me popping balloons at the Jackson's birthday party.
Brilliant. That's brilliant. See,
and then I did the one of sucking the toes, and it didn't get many hits. I guess I didn't suck them long enough. I had blue velvet on in the background. But no go.
See, Misty, that's brilliant. If I thought I could make any type of profit whatsoever doing doing pornographic things
like
that.
You would suck your own toes, Brian?
Oh, I would, and, you know, it might still happen.
Misty,
I piss in a diaper live, you know, and it's on.
Misty, maybe if you smoke a cigarette with your toes, like hold it in between your toes.
There you go. I didn't even think of that.
But, yeah, but seriously.
I'm going to go buy a pack of cigarettes tomorrow. I'm going to do that shit.
I highly recommend you do. I think people will enjoy that. But, yeah.
But
I mean,
my boyfriend told me, he said, make sure, you know, when you tell the story, because I told him I was going to tell the story on the radio, he said, make sure that you tell, you know, all of it so they know that I'm not a total ass. So my boyfriend, the one I'm with now, he's the guy who called me a whore. Well, he was drunk, you know, and I was looking kind of whorish.
That's great. So
I told him that I had to go home. This is why he called me a whore, actually. He said to begin with, because I said, I've got to go home. It's kind of a strange situation. I still live with my ex-husband, and, you know, we have different bedrooms, but we still have the same place. He said, so you're the whore going back to your ex-husband. And that's when I slapped him, actually.
Wow.
I said, I have to go home. My son's coming in tomorrow because my son has been staying with my parents at their ranch since after his birthday in November. So I said, I've got to go home and, you know, get things ready for Christmas Eve and get the presents ready and do cookies. And he said, no, we're going to be together tonight. We're going to see how it goes, and you can't leave. And I got drunk. And so anyway, we went to the Hilton on the Riverwalk and spent the night at the Hilton. And then all this time, I had my phone buried somewhere in the recesses of my SUV. And so my ex didn't know where I was. And so there was that. And then.
Need to know where you were, or? Why would you need to know where you were?
Oh, well, because, you know, we lived together and he was overprotective of me. And,
right, well, and
I think
too, there was, didn't your family come down to see you too or something, and they couldn't find you, some crap like that?
Yes,
too?
they came down on Christmas Eve to bring Jackson to spend Christmas Eve with me and Michael, my ex. And so all this time, my phone was not turned on. No one knew where I was. The next morning, we go down. He wanted me to spend another night at the hotel, and I said, no, I've got to get back. And so we went down to get the car from the valet, and they didn't have the car ready. He said, let's go eat breakfast. I said, I don't eat breakfast. And he convinced me to go eat breakfast. Okay, let's go get a Bloody Mary. So he had a Bloody Mary. I had a mimosa. Oh, there's this bar I really want to show you down the way. So it just kept going on, and all this time, you know, time was lapsing. And then, well, I had ripped his shirt off and some buttons had popped off there. So he had to go to the mall and get a new shirt. So we went to the mall, and now it was Christmas Eve and it was getting late, like 8:30. So he got a shirt and he bought me a dress and a lipstick. And then we had Chinese food. And then finally, I went back to my apartment and I walk in and this dress he had bought me. I bought a dress direct. I look like a prom reject from the 80s. I look ridiculous in this dress, this clearance dress that he bought me. So I walk in, and there's my stepdad and Michael sitting on the couch waiting, and they had called the cops. They had called hospitals. Everyone was just, you know, they thought I was dead.
Wow, yeah. I saw the drama unfold firsthand on Facebook. Isn't that funny how Facebook is like this little, like, mirror of a our real lives to a certain degree.
A little microcosm.
Yeah, yeah. It is. Yeah, it's bizarre.
That's how I knew, too. Facebook. Drama.
I have one close girlfriend, Nicole Henares, who lives in San Francisco. My sister and my mom went on Facebook and contacted Nicole and said, do you know where Misty is? And so then Nicole went on and posted, you know, the status update about me. And then
I got wind from Tim Murray. Tim Murray is who I got wind from.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So
well,
I didn't
hey,
know
Misty.
It was a joke.
Yeah, yeah. When you see something posted by Tim Murray, first thing comes to mind, Mom, this is bullshit. This is a joke. It's hard
yeah,
to take
I,
it
I,
serious.
I really. I thought it was a fucking joke.
It. And he was all got all upset. He's like, just post it. Oh, okay. You're not kidding. All right. That's cool.
Yeah.
So I do not.
Misty,
kidding.
I guarantee you, Misty would not be in Gary, Indiana, though. I
All right, Misty, since we have you on here, we kind of have this thing here where we do a little quick micro interview of everyone we have on, and I want to go ahead. Yeah, I want to hear your answers for these questions, and we have another caller, Mr. Ted Jackins, who has been holding patiently, and we'll get him on here soon, too. I'm sure he has some fun stuff to add. But anyhow, so Misty, here you go. This is the required interview slash, you know, thing we require every caller to do. So question number one for Misty Rainwater Lights. Do you make eye contact when you make love?
Well, my boyfriend turns my off. I told him tonight, I said, is it because I'm a gringa? So when the lights are on and you can see the person, yeah, I make eye contact.
Uh-huh.
I like eye contact during sex, absolutely.
Really? Okay, interesting.
I do.
Is there ever an instance when eye contact is just not appropriate or...
Yeah, if you're a whore and you're with your John, you don't want to make me.
Okay, Brian never makes eye contact because he's normally, you know, getting it from behind.
Yeah, the reach around. I'm a total whore and an asshole. yeah, eye contact. No, definitely not a prerequisite when having sexual encounters with Brian W. Dot Fugee. Yeah, so question number two, Misty. Question number two. You know, this is something I think it's very important here in this social media and, you know, and especially the Facebook world. Here, I got to ask you, is it ethical to like your own posts on Facebook? And do you do it? Do you do it? And if not, do you know someone who does?
Well, you know, I'm quite the fucktard. I mean, I like Nicolas Cage and Sam J. Jones. I like my own post all the time. I like my own pictures.
Really?
I posted a love song for myself today. I said, this is a love song for myself. She's close enough to perfect by Alabama.
All right.
So.
That's okay. Thanks for your honesty. That's okay. Question number three. And, you know, this question, it almost seems retarded for me to even ask you this question because, you know, you've got this long name, Misty Rainwater Light, you know, the hyphenated name. But I like to ask people, would you ever consider activating a middle initial to enhance your poetry career? Because I did recently. I added the W dot, and it's like, wow, my Google hits and Facebook hits and everything just went, you know, skyrocketed. But you're already like Misty Rainwater Light. It's like you don't even have a middle initial. You have a whole middle fucking name there.
I want to do the little like symbol. Yeah, I'm Misty Velvet Rainwater, and I'm thinking now that I'm divorced from, you know, Michael Lights, I'm thinking maybe I should go back to Misty Velvet Rainwater. But I've got bullshit rodeo coming out as Misty Rainwater Lights, and I've got all these Misty Rainwater Lights. So.
Right.
I'll probably just be Misty Rainwater Lights.
Yeah, you probably should. I mean, if you've already got that name recognition, yeah. Yeah, you don't even need that middle initial. Wow. Yeah. So, hey, one more question for you.
Okay, my boyfriend. Okay, yeah, I've got to. Okay, go ahead. What's the last question?
Okay.
I know,
what's
baby.
Going on?
I know.
Your boyfriend, does he need another massage, a baby oil massage?
He forwent. What do you say? He didn't want the baby oil. He didn't want the baby oil. So.
He don't like baby oil? That's like noodle massage. You know what noodle massage is?
You throw the wet noodles on the person's back.
Oh, that sounds hot. I kind of like that. But no, noodle massage is when you get all this like oil and you rub up and down the person with your boobies and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
And then it eventually leads to coitus. Coitus.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you want a noodle massage? That's where. I rub my tits up and down your back. He said, "Oh yeah."
Hey, would he want to get on here and just say hi or something? Just.
I want you to say hi. Come on, baby. Come.
Yeah,
say
yeah.
Hi.
Get him on there.
Make sure he's real. Make sure the guy's real.
We need confirmation.
Oh, he has
this
to
boyfriend you keep bragging
hours.
About.
They don't. You know, they know that I'm crazy. They know that I'm a terrible person. I'm making up to my imaginary friends.
That's an understatement, Misty Rainwater Lights.
He said, thank you next time. But here's what he was to tell
voice.
Y'all.
I heard a voice.
Okay, so listen. So my ex said, okay, he wrote me this long letter. I woke up one morning and I read it. He said, you've got some choices here. we can check you into a state hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
You can go to your grandparents in Bridgeport, which is where I was born, you know, in North Texas. Or you can get on a Greyhound and go to San Francisco because Nicole's there. And you can stay at the Mayflower. That's Nicole's hotel. And, you know, follow your dream. Go to San Francisco. So I bought a Greyhound bus ticket to San Francisco. Oh, and all this time, my boyfriend, the guy that I met on the 23rd, we were going to have a date on New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
He flaked out on me. That's the reason I was despondent and depressed. And my ex said, you need to get on with your life and do something. And so I went to San Francisco, and I was just thinking of Abel the whole time. And, you know, I was glad to be there, and I was excited. But I got a place in the Haight-Ashbury. I got an apartment. It was a total ripoff. Well, there was a backyard, but it was $800 a month for basically a converted living room. I had no doors. I had sheets hanging from the ceiling to the floor, no privacy. I had a bipolar roommate, a recovering alcoholic bipolar roommate, and
wow.
It was kind of hairy. She got mad because I got drunk one night and I was talking on the phone too loud, and that pissed her off.
Wow.
But anyway, So I got to hang out with Paul Corman Roberts.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Taylor, and I got to see Zarina Zabriskie
a
couple of times.
Oh, yes, I wanted to ask
that
about it. You
awesome.
Read with her, didn't you? You read with Zarina.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've met her. I've hung out with her, like, a couple of times now at readings and stuff. She's very unique. What was your impression?
Oh, I thought she had massive charisma and sex appeal and, you know, very entertaining. She did very entertaining readings at this yoga studio in Bernal Heights and then at the Fillmore in Oakland. That was that was the best. I mean, I was reading in front of a table of dildos. It doesn't even
matter. A table of dildos. That's perfect. I like that. wow. So, see, you're always fun to have on here because you always have such unique and entertaining stories and everything else. And, you know, people have been following your escapades pretty much on Facebook as you post. It's kind of like a real life, you know, I don't know, small press drama. Just everyone watching like, what's going on, Misty, now? I don't know. She's in San Francisco. Oh no, now she's in
Let me give my happy MGM ending. So
yes.
All this time I was talking to my boyfriend, he would call and he called me to wish me Happy New Year's. And I said, you will never believe where I am. He said, where are you? I said, I'm in San Francisco. And I told him I took a Greyhound out there and, you know. And he said, so what are we going to do? And I said, well, you know, you can come visit me. I'll visit you. And, you know, we talked the whole time I was there for the whole month. And then I finally told him that I wanted to come back. I wanted to be with him. So he bought an airplane ticket and I flew in to San Antonio and went to his place, and he's working this contract job at this casino here in Eagle Pass, so I've been with him in Eagle Pass ever since.
Wow. Cool. So, the current boyfriend who doesn't want to talk to us, which I don't blame him, I'd be scared too. do you have to give him a massage or something right now, or can you hang out with us?
I gave him the massage already. Yeah, he's sleeping. He has to get up in about 5 hours and work.
Ooh.
So.
He's got a job. That's good.
That's definitely a good sign.
After being in San Francisco for a month, that's a novelty. Yeah, I cherish that in a man.
Right. No
oh,
doubt.
That's so
no doubt. I used to live in San Francisco myself. It was very, very unique experience, I guess, because there was such a disparity of wealth and poverty. I mean, right there, wherever you went. You know,
Day, my friend Nicole, she shops a lot, and she encouraged me to apply at these retail shops, like this place called Ambiance on Union Street. Well, that's high dollar. And I was like, Nicole, I don't think I can do retail, but she talked me into it. I had to have some kind of job, so I went for the interview. Oh, my God, it was eviscerating. That lady she was a total cunt bitch. Oh, my God, she just handed me my ass on a platter. So I walked out, and I was crying watching these guys mow a baseball field, and then I was wearing my cowboy boots. And so I got on Muni, and I took Muni to fucking Daly City, which was senseless. I was just kind of numb. I just wanted to ride around, you know, and look out the window. And then I got off at the Daly City BART station, and they were selling hot dogs for $3.50, and I didn't have the money to get a hot dog. That was depressing. And then I got on Muni to Golden Gate Bridge. I'd never been that close to it before, and so all the tourists, they were taking pictures of Golden Gate Bridge, and I thought, so that's where they go, and they jump off to commit suicide, and, yeah, that seems kind of appealing. But I took pictures with my phone, and I walked the beach in my cowboy boots and walked all the way into the city to get back on Muni, you know.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's the only way. If you're going to walk on the beach, you might as well do it with a pair of fucking cowboy boots on. I mean, that's the way to go. That's the way to go. All right, so we're going to take a quick piss break here, and we're going to bring on Mr. Ted Jackins. He's been waiting patiently for, like, a billion hours, and we'll bring him on. I'm sure he has some fun stuff to add. And Misty, please stay on and join us in the fun. This is, you know, when we do these shows, I pretty much consider it, you know, a slumber party. All of us hanging out in our jammies and getting drunk and having fun. I feel bad that your boyfriend is trying to sleep because he has to work. Thank God I don't have to, but I do have to be a, you know, stay-at-home dad. Yeah, that's me. Stay-at-home dad slash model. for Kohl's. Yeah, I do some Kohl's modeling and and diaper modeling. So yeah, right. We're gonna just take a quick piss break and have some music here. Let's see here. Oh gosh, how about? Here we go. Ready? We'll be right back. And Ted Jackins, I know you're there, buddy. You're coming up next, buddy. Be ready. You've been waiting patiently. We'll have you on, and we'll move forward. Thanks, everybody. It's been great so far.
Sucking dick for ecstasy. Hey, the 7-year-old children, and they got with me. Now the get high shack is just a memory. Downloading porn with Dave-O. Downloading porn with Dave-O. Throw the latch on the door so mama don't know that I'm downloading porn with Dave-O. But I came up short. So I fucked a little waitress in exchange for a snort. My girl's got a dick hanging out of her shorts. Me and Eric in the bathroom with the weather report. Downloading porn with Dave-O. Downloading porn with Dave-O. Put a latch on the door so mama don't know that I'm downloading porn with Dave-O. Oh, baby, I know you love the good old days. Cruising on the Long Island Expressway. I used to be dead, but now I'm gay. Downloading porn with Dave-O. Downloading porn with Dave-O. Put the latch on the door so mama don't know that I'm downloading porn with Dave-O. Yo!
Ted Jackins. He's been waiting patiently for over 40 minutes and putting up with our BS, but you know what? I'm pretty confident this guy, he's a very talented poet and writer, and he's funny as hell. So let's bring on Mr. Teddy Jackins. Teddy. Teddy. Hello. Teddy, are you there?
I'm here, Robert.
Robert.
I don't know where that came from.
Well, you can call me, you know, if it makes you feel comfortable, call me Robert. You can call me whatever you want, Ted.
I like to call Julia Roberts.
I call all of my dancing girls Robert.
I know, baby.
Yes, I have been waiting for over 40 minutes. I'm glad I started doing cocaine again.
Wow. That's a hell of a confession.
But it's okay because during the break I did a bunch of heroin to kind of bring myself back down. So
right.
I think we'll be good. That was cool though, because when I was sitting there listening to Misty's stories, and it was fun because before the show I had this back and forth about actually what you were wanting to talk about, like the Oscars and all of that. About first it was the Jennifer Lawrence thing, which I will get to. It's a very touchy subject for me. But I had a back and forth with her, and a few other people. It was kind of cool to go from that and then like actually like, well, who is this person? Why don't I know who they are? And then I'm like listening to her stories and I'm like, man, I can relate to that. That's wow. You know, I thought I had weird shit happen to me. So it was cool. I was like sitting here and I was like, really? It's been 40 minutes? I had no idea. So, yes.
Well, yeah.
No problem.
I'm glad you're here, man. And, you know, I'm glad you were patient with this. And here you are now. You know, we'd love to hear what your input, especially about the, what's her name, Jennifer? Are you intimate with Jennifer? I mean, what's your deal with Jennifer?
With Jennifer Warren, okay, this is, I'll try and abbreviate it. It's very interesting because me and my buddy Rufus, I don't know if you see my back and forth with him on Facebook, but we are now one for one for losing friends over insulting a celebrity for this moment. Because a month ago, and luckily I didn't say anything nearly as offensive, I just said that she was a talentless cunt and I wish she would die. But when he...
Wow, you said the C word.
But
oof. Is that like the magic word for the night or what?
Yeah, I didn't even know what the cunt gate thing was until you started talking about it. I was like, oh, the onion. But
the cunt gate, yeah.
Anyway, like I said, like, I didn't say nearly as an offensive thing as he did, because his thing was he was watching the Super Bowl and posted this thing about how everybody else was raving about the Beyonce performance. And he was like, I've never liked her. I don't think she's talented or attractive. What's the deal? And, like, people went all over him. And I was, like, defending him. And it gets down in the comments, and people are like, oh, come on, man, Destiny's Child was awesome and all this stuff. And he actually said the greatest thing I ever said, and it's a slow burn, but he said that Beyonce's mother missed a real opportunity when she didn't flush the toilet after giving birth.
Oh, God. Wow.
Yeah, and he said, like, immediately after that, like, three people deleted him. He got all these three messages. I lost two people that I noticed, which I will leave nameless. And then I got, like, a text message this morning. Someone actually texted me about this. Like, really? You know, it's not like I said, you know, your child's an asshole or anything like that. It's a celebrity. You don't know them personally. But they were like, how can you say she was a shitty actress? She won an Academy Award, and that's like what I said earlier in the thread, which is I will not take the Academy Awards, like, seriously when Jennifer Lawrence, who is still new as far as her career goes, wins an Academy Award when they still have yet to give one to Gary Oldman. That's just bullshit, you know? Somebody who has repeatedly been like, you know, like, critics are always talking about how he's like the greatest actor. He's actually been talked about as the great travesty that, you know, he's done all these amazing roles that, like, will forever be etched in our memory, and he hasn't won. And she does Silver Linings Playbook, a fucking movie, and she gets an Academy Award. Are you fucking kidding me? I mean, like, and here's why I don't like her personally. The reason for that is everybody always says, oh, she's so quirky and down to earth. I went to high school and even after high school with tons of these girls, and everybody knows a bunch of them, and they're like, I'm so quirky. I'm so different and quirky. It's like, no, you're not. You're not. And right now, your life, thinking you're quirky, right there, that's the peak for you. That's right now, it's all cute, and guys will fuck you, and, you know, that's great. But, you know, you're not quirky, and you're not different. There's nothing different about you. You're just annoying. You know, you're going to be the same, like, they're the same girls that, like, 10 years down the road, I'd run into them at a party, and they'd be, like, really drunk, and someone gave them some ecstasy, and they're hitting on everyone, and everyone's doing the opposite of what you'd think, where they'd be like, oh, wow, this girl, I could take advantage of it, because I saw that happen a lot, you know? But they would be like, oh, get off me. What the hell is wrong with you? Like,
you know. I have a problem with girls that are like that, like just, you know, they need attention all the time, so it's no wonder that she ended up an actress. And the other problem is not really with her. It's more with movies that are like The Silver Linings Playbook and its ilk, and I discussed this on Facebook a little bit yesterday. Now, I'll admit, I haven't seen it, and I don't think I will, but I know enough about the plot to have an issue, and it's more with Hollywood and the people who write this sort of stuff, which is, as a person who deals with mental illness every day of my life, you know, and I've been through it, I've seen it destroy lives, and, you know, people I've been close to who are repeatedly in and out of hospitals and stuff like that. Like, to see a movie like that, and there are countless movies like that, like Garden State comes to mind and a few others, that treat it as just this quirky, kind of adorable little, you know, personality trait to move the drama along, is insulting, because I see that and I'm like, that's not what it's like at all, you know. And these little, like, I mean, I guess it's good because those movies keep people discussing mental illness and everything like that, but it pisses me off at the same time because I'm like, that's not what it's like at all.
I think that's how our society views it. It's just kind of a quirky kind of defect in personality. You know, my best friend Eric, who just died, he, you know, spent his whole life struggling with, you know, mental illness, and, you know, nobody cared. Keep him off pills, shut him up, and that's it.
Exactly. And the really sad thing, and I've dealt with this denial, like, the alcoholism, and then, like, I ended up in the hospital from a suicide attempt about 3 years ago, and there are insurance companies, they'll cover anything you could think of, but if it's a mental illness or drug or alcohol related, they won't cover it at all. They don't even consider it a real medical issue, which is ridiculous. It's like, really, you're going to say that and then turn right around and be like, I don't know why all the crazy people are shooting up schools. Like, are you fucking joking? If you can, like,
Do you think we can relate this somehow to Obamacare?
People
shooting up schools and mental illness. Is there some connection to Obamacare?
It's the Illuminati, man.
The Illuminati.
I think, here's the thing. Obamacare, I wish that it could be more of what he wanted originally. I look at
right.
Canada, and I'm like, you know, I wish that the Republicans, and let's face it, all the Republicans who shoot down every bill that he tries to put through are doing it because he's a black guy. End of fucking story. I see it as, like, that's the reason that he couldn't get what he wanted, which was complete universal health care. It's the same thing Hillary Clinton has talked about for years.
She shot it down herself when Bill was president. That's important to note, too. Yeah, she shot down, that was her thing. She was supposed to go for universal health care, and it didn't succeed.
I
think it was the mandate.
Let's all just talk about shooting bills. What's wrong with the name Bill? I know plenty of fine white trash fellas named Bill.
Look, you know, I just chalk it up as I think our you know, obviously I think our elected officials just care too much about getting reelected than anything else. You know,
yeah.
Well, I mean, Obama
that's your issue there,
to
and
pass,
I too much money.
Oh, good.
I definitely see that it's more of a caring more about election, and also I see from, like, the Republican side, like the GOP and the House and the Senate, I mean, like, it was a Boehner that said, or no, Mitch McConnell said, our biggest concern is making sure Barack Obama is a one-term president. Like, really,
right.
That's your biggest concern?
And then you had, at the same time, Ted, you had
when Obama was trying to pass, you know, he had this gun reform after Sandy Hook, the Senate Democrats who were in pro-gun states were not signing on to the bill. They were holding it up. So I really think individuals just care about getting elected.
Sandy Hook. Yeah, I agree. I agree totally.
All right, you guys are getting you guys are getting a little too serious for my taste here, all this political talk and
okay.
It's starting to frighten me just a little
bit.
Okay, you don't want to frighten the Brian W. Dalt Fuge because he might piss himself. So anyhow, Ted, do you have something you want to read or share with us besides, you know, Obamacare and politics or whatnot?
Well, let's see. I have two things. One thing is something I wrote, and the other thing is a mysterious surprise. I'll let you choose. Which would you rather have?
I like surprises.
Surprise.
Okay. I was inspired by a couple of things. I almost, like, it was way across the house from me, and my battery was about to die the last time. But when you had, like, people reading, like, telling them to just go grab stuff from the kitchen, I immediately flashed back to when I was a teenager 400 years ago.
400 years ago. Wow.
During an era of music of which I was a part of, I think it was called, was it grunge rock?
Grunge in the 90s? Yes, grunge was the rage, all the rage. Thanks to Nirvana, they started that. Yeah.
Okay.
I used to be in a grunge band, actually. People don't know that.
I did.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I was actually I was wearing my Mud Honey shirt the other day, and I was like, I know it's not 1995 anymore, and I don't care. But I was listening to these people, like, reading from these things, and it made me flash back to the 1990s, 400 years ago, and a show back when MTV used to actually take risks with their programming, and they would put interesting things on. Like, they had this one show that I watched religiously, hosted by a guy named Jake Fogelnest, who is actually now a DJ on XM Satellite Radio. But when he was like 15, in the mid-90s, he had a show called Squirt TV, which was originally a public access show, and then MTV picked it up. And this one thing that got me is he would have bands come to his, like, bedroom, like the Beastie Boys were on. And,
right.
Really weird indie rock bands, like Seba Matto was on there one time. But the best thing I ever saw in my life is he had Might Be from the Beastie Boys and Beck on the show.
Wow.
And one of the highlights was Jake Fogelnest playing a toy keyboard and Beck swinging fruit from a bowl around what might be just read from the back of Showgirls. And I remember thinking it was the greatest thing ever. So that's my long-winded way of leading up to reading from the back of a similar cinematic classic, which I picked up for 50 cents in a VHS bin at a thrift store.
Uh-huh.
The urban horror... Yes, you heard that right. Urban horror classic.
Urban horror.
Rag.
Wow. I don't know how to interpret that. That sounds a little racist there. You're getting too racy for this show, Mr. Ted Jackin.
Oh,
just kidding.
It gets better. It gets better.
What the hell have we become?
Well, first of all, let's see. This movie came out in... where is the date? 1999. That's not as long ago as I thought. But
no. That's pretty contemporary. Wow.
Right around the corner.
I'm going to try my best to read this in the manner in which it's written, but I may not be able to do it complete justice. Just know that this entire blurb on the back is one long run-on sentence.
Right.
Occasionally...
You're going to read it in the form of, like, a poem, a dramatic poem, or
Yeah, yes. Yes. I'm going to try to.
Okay, so set us up here. Here we go. This is what I love, is because everything can become poetry if you just read it in the right, you know, with the right diction and emphasis, you know, and just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's everything is art. Everything is poetry.
That's true.
But yeah. Go for it. I'm glad you're inspired and you're doing this. This excites me. It makes me a little tingly. So yeah, go for it. Set us up. Title. Title. Make up a title.
Okay. Alchemy Entertainment, along with Full Moon Releases, presents Urban Horror Classic Ragdoll Magic of the Killing Kind. .. 17-year-old Kwame performs in a local hip-hop band, comma, while living with his aged grandmother, comma. He has grown up listening to her talk about her, quotation marks, magical powers, comma, when his gran is put into the hospital by the local thugs, comma. Kwame and the quotation marks, killing, in quotation marks, magic, and puts it into his grand old rag doll, comma. However, there is a terrible price to pay for dealing with the Shadow Man and his magic of the, quotation marks, killing kind, comma. Soundtrack available on Big City Records, featuring the music from Booker T. Jones III, Voodoo, spelled B-O-U-X-D-O-U-X, Freda Payne, spelled F-R-E-D-A-P-A-Y-N-E, Baldhead Dreads, which just doesn't even make sense, and who could forget April? And it's only 90 minutes because the man...
It's only 90 minutes, but this poem... that you just read went on for like 100,000 minutes.
I know. Like,
you know what, Ted? I think I'm gonna have to recommend some special headgear for you after hearing that. you know, the special kind of headgear that
there's even a mouthpiece too.
Mouthpiece. Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
Remember those people who had to wear the headgear, like braces on their teeth and stuff in school?
Oh, yeah. Does that even exist anymore nowadays?
Actually, my niece has to wear it at night. She, like, grinds her teeth, so they gave her some sort of headgear, like, braces, pre-braces thing.
Really?
That poor kid.
So I don't know if, like, people still have to wear it during the day, but yeah.
Is it like hardcore headgear? Could you like sneak into a room and like punch her in the forehead or throat or something and like and she not like even feel it? Or
why would I do that to my
just to see if the headgear works? I mean, I don't know.
safety check.
It's your 3 a.m. wake up call.
And Ted, I gotta ask. You kept inserting commas, but during the reading, were they actually commas or comas?
Commas.
Okay.
Okay.
Was I breaking up
or something?
No.
And they were all there. Like as I said, it was one long run-on sentence, and if it wasn't commas thrown in at random. It was a lot of, like, ellipses, like, and furthermore...
The comma or the punctuation, or how did that work?
Just, like, in the middle of the sentence. Like, there were no periods, there were no, like, exclamation points to add, drama.
Okay, but
just
I'm asking if it was the actual punctuation mark.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just thrown in at random.
All right.
Like, and it was written, like, if you ever found, like, the English homework of a kid who was failing the first class.
English homework.
Like, have you ever found that and then read it? Which actually, that reminds me of one of the greatest things I've ever found. When I was in, I was in 10th grade, and I had just walked into my English class, the very first thing in the morning. And I found this piece of paper stuck still on my desk, and I opened it up, and it was written by this kid who was probably about the same age as me, and it was one of those, when I grow up, I want to be, you know, papers that they always made you write. And verbatim, like, with his lack of spelling skills, he said, when I grow up, I want to be a famous rapper, except he left out a P. So it was, when I grow up, I want to be a world-famous raper. And then he went on to describe how he would manage to get a mansion and all the women because they all really loved his rape skills. And it just went on like this. Like, and I think I still have it, actually, because it was just one of those things where I was like, I've got to hold on to this because no one will believe me. You know, but, no, it's
famous raper, he should sign up for ChristianMingle.com, then.
Oh, yeah, or yeah, CougarLife.com. Yeah, here's the thing. It's an experiment I'm going to start after tonight, after the show's over. I'm going to make a bunch of bogus profiles on, like, CougarLife.com and ChristianLifestyle.com and all that, and see how many males or females that I could, you know, reel in and talk about it on the next Blog Talk Radio show. I think it would be quite fun. I think we should all do it just for shits and giggles. But anyhow, Ted, if you don't mind, we have another caller who's been waiting for 20 minutes now. Please stay on, and let's bring this other caller on, and please stay on and you know, keep us,
help us
entertained with your input. Here we go. Caller, you've been holding for 20 minutes, and you've got a weird phone number, and I don't know your name. You know what? I'm just going to make one up. I don't know if you're male or female. I'm just going to call you Jenny. Jenny. Jenny, you're on.
Real. My real name is Bill.
Bill?
And, yeah, I'm not getting shot down by nobody on this ass and fucking radio show. I'll tell you what happened to me. I was getting ready for bed over there, and I pulled the bed mattress off the frame, and I drug it out in the living room because I wanted to watch the television.
Is it a stained mattress?
I don't give a damn about stains on my mattress because I'm the only one who ever slept on it, so I ain't worried about them. But the thing is, I pulled it out there, and I went through all them television stations on there, and I couldn't find a damn thing to watch, so I revved up this here Blog Talk program. I'll tell you right now, you sons of bitches, I was trying to go to sleep, and your damn show's working. That's all I can tell you about that. You sons of bitches are boring the hell out of me. I wanted to talk about it. I got to that part about that giant candy cane, and I wanted to talk about that, and then you brought in that politician over there, and I ain't talking about any of that shit. If I wanted that, I'd just turn the fucking TV back on and go over there to C-SPAN or something like that.
Right, C-SPAN, CNN, all yeah, screw
it. So I want to talk about things that are relevant to a young man like myself who's got the mattress out in the living room trying to, you know, be entertained by you people. I don't understand what this show's about.
You know what the show's about? Ultimately,
I don't know what the hell your show's about.
It's about internet porn.
I don't know either.
Yeah, well what's your take on internet porn?
I like magazines because I can take them in the toilet with me.
Well, you don't. You can't take your laptop into the toilet.
I ain't got no cod-ass laptop. I'm sitting over here at the library right now using the internets.
I thought you said you were at home.
Yeah, I'm at home too. Don't call me out on it, you son of a bitch. Don't talk to me like that.
That was the greatest answer to an honest question. All you got to do is, for the library, is cut a hole in one of your pockets. That's it. No one will ever know what's going on.
What do you mean like that?
Wow, someone's talking from
what
an
you gonna
extreme
do
experience
when
here.
Library?
Wow.
What do you do when your library card falls out?
You can't check out. You can't check out.
I can't go on internet neither.
You don't want to have your library card in that particular pocket and then cause some static electricity on your ball hairs or something, man.
I'm completely shaved, sir, so that's not going to be a problem for me.
Well, okay, you're completely shaved. Wow, you know, how do you do this? Do you use a razor, a straight razor, or, you know,
yeah,
like a Bic razor, or do you use, like,
I'll tell you
hair
what
clippers,
use,
or do you get
I
a wax? I mean, what?
No, I'll tell you what I damn use. What
all
I
right
do is I get in the shower right
mm-hmm
over there, and I'll tell you, I put that Barbasol on there.
Barbasol? Okay.
Yeah. I lather them up with that light Barbasol. You got to get them big, you got to get them razors, not them cheap ones now in a bag at 97 cents over at the Walmart or whatever. You got to get them ones with the twin blades on them.
Twin blades, yeah.
Yeah, twin
blades.
Because
yeah,
if you've ever been down there before, not on me, but on yourself, you'll find that the pubic hair is very coarse, and that single blade does not work, friend. I'll tell you, you be in there slicing and dicing.
Slicing and dicing, yeah. That's you know, when you're in that the nether regions there, that's never a good thing.
No, sir, it's not.
No, it's not. Absolutely not. So do you find that being shaved like that, does it enhance your masturbatory endeavors,
yeah,
or your actual sexual encounters? I mean,
have
you ever had razor burn down there? I mean,
oh,
I'll tell you one thing. I have had razor burn on several occasions, but the thing is,
infected? I mean,
well, the thing is, I use anyhow. What I put on there is I put that antifungal, that foot athlete's foot cream on there anyhow, because
yeah,
I got the crotch
rot
all the time.
Does that burn a little bit?
It does, but I always get that crotch rot down there. So I always put that on there, and it takes away the razor burn on it, too.
Really?
Yes, sir, it does.
I'm taking notes.
Yeah.
I bet it's
that
rather straight rinse mixed with the Barbasol scent.
Yeah, right. So getting back to your question about how being shaving down there does from a sexual proclivities,
mm-hmm,
I'll tell you right now, the thing is, it's easier. It's a lot easier. What I do is I'd kick my cock ring out.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you, don't get tangled up on your pubic hairs because you're shaved.
Yeah.
And you can
yeah
slide it on and off around your genitalia,
mm-hmm,
and use it and put it away quickly, and it's not getting fucking rolled up in your ball hairs. Or
yeah. I agree. The ball hairs, it sucks shit, man. I hate that. Yeah, that happened to me once back in 2003. Where my I was unshaven, unfortunately,
right,
and my cock hairs totally got entangled in my cock ring.
Yeah.
And it was quite embarrassing because I was like, you know, I was right mid-coitus, man.
More
mid-coitus
than I ever wanted to know about you, I think.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
mid-coitus. Yeah,
yeah,
well, listen, mid-coitus, motherfuckers. I was mid-coitus, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, my puke hair all of a sudden was tangled in there, and it started hurting like... Like, I was like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, baby, oh. And I was like, oh, shit. And she thought, is he coming? Like, no, this shit hurts. It's like, you know.
Yes,
like,
it does.
It does, yeah. You know, those hairs start pulling out, and it's just, oh, God.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, man, you know, erection, deeply,
yep,
total depletion, you know, and embarrassing. She's like, you know, so the girl's all like, you know, fuck, he's, yeah, he needs some Viagra or something, and he's a young man. It was quite embarrassing, so I can totally,
yep,
totally relate. Yeah, absolutely. That's brilliant.
Thank you.
So do you have anything else to share,
sir? I was just hanging out and talk to you like that, and I don't know. I was just calling in, like I said. I was trying to go to bed, and I got,
yeah,
there ain't nothing on the television tonight, and
right,
I like that you did the Pledge of Allegiance on the show. I thought
right
that was really nice, and I think that missed the, I forget her last name on there. That gal you had on at the beginning there was talking about how she went over to San Francisco and she
mm-hmm
did all that. I thought that was really interesting. Then you guys got off, started jacking off about politics and all that, and you derailed the story. And
we'll keep it smut based for you now on, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't mind politics and all that, but I just don't like people who disagree with me.
Nobody likes that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
so I'm just going to hang out with you until I hang up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, what's your opinion on Anne Frank? How do you feel about
Anne Frank?
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now about Anne Frank.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that book is a forgery right now.
You think it's a forgery, really?
It's a damn forgery. It's written by her damn uncle or father or somebody like that.
So?
I know so, friend. I know so. And the thing is, that damn book's a forgery because she was a Jew, stuck up in an attic, or what? I was watching the History Channel the other day.
Oh, yeah, the History Channel. It's very
I mean, was she overreacting? I don't understand. Is it?
What's that question you had there, son?
Was she overreacting?
Was it, you know?
What do you mean, overreacting?
Anne Frank.
I don't know. I'm telling you, she didn't write a damn thing. It was used as a money-making vehicle, as a side story. I'll tell you that right now.
So, well, I got to ask you, how would you feel if, you know, what do you think the perception of Anne Frank would be today if she had, you know, an iPhone and she was, like, constantly updating on Facebook and stuff about how she's trapped in an attic and Nazis are after her and,
pity me,
I have to change bedpans and stuff.
Right.
I mean.
Well, I'll tell you right now, what we'd do is we'd take up a damn collection on what that damn Kickstarter campaign to get her out of there.
You're absolutely right, Kickstarter.
Kickstarter.
Kickstarter could solve all kinds of, Oh, gosh. If we only had the internet and Kickstarter back during World War II.
You got that right, friend.
Yeah. You know, I think millions of lives would have been saved. And,
sure it would.
Absolutely, yes.
Tell you what we need to do in order to prove the fact that you're right about that. We need to have another world war now that we're all equipped with it, and we'll prove that we can save millions of lives.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Could you imagine if we had eBay back during World War II? They could have bought lamps instead of made them.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, you don't got to make none of that stuff. You're right. You guys are... I'm glad the young generation's coming along the way it is. I really am. You guys have got the ideas and things and this computer wizardry and all that.
Yeah, it's total wizardry. Yeah. Absolutely.
Genius.
Yeah, it is. You know, if there was World War III and then, you know, I was a soldier, I would, you know, I'd put my bayonet up on eBay, like, immediately. Like, I'd put some fake blood and shit on it, even though, you know, I'd just go stab a possum or something on the side of the road and, like, look at this. I stabbed a North Korean soldier because we are in World War III with North Korea. And, put on there. I'd probably make, a good $2,000 off of it. I mean, it's...
Shit, my neighbors just moved back to Korea. They were packing up and leaving today. I never had the nerve to ask them if it was North Korea or South Korea.
Oh, really? You had Korean neighbors, huh?
Yes.
That's beautiful. Do you ever, like, barbecue with them or drink beers with them?
Korean barbecue? No, Korean barbecue. Yeah, no, he was a little higher class than me. He's an engineer for a company out here, Corning, so he didn't do the whole barbecue.
Engineers know I like a barbecue, huh?
No, I like the barbecue. It was funny, him and his son came out, all of us, American kids, that go out there, you build a goofy-looking snowman. And his son came out, they built a snow structure.
A snow structure, huh? Fucking Koreans, I tell you. Yeah, no, that was a North Korean dude. That was probably a spy.
Was it a Korean
bomb
shelter?
And you son of a bitch is going to... You know, you got these Korean kids going out there and building a damn snow Taj Mahal, and you're out there rolling up little snowballs trying to make a snowman, and your dumbass wonders why you're working at Little Caesars.
Jesus Christ, Little Caesars, man. That's
work. I can't get work, shit. What are you talking about?
I'll tell you what I'm talking about. You sons of bitches... Uneducated.
They want me to shave the beard.
Running around here.
I'm just supposed to make manager, dude. Come on.
I'll tell you right now, I got my GED in 1972. I'll tell you right now, I went to damn work right after I got that GED, and I'll tell you something right now.
Yeah?
Ain't nothing out there right now but service jobs for low wages. I'll tell you, there ain't no more manufacturing. You got these Korean kids out there building structures. You got there rolling damn balls up looking for coal or some damn shit to put on the eyes. You know, you can't even wipe your own ass half the time.
I have to admit, I often have extreme difficulty wiping my own hairy asshole. So, hey.
Bill, you said you were shaved. You shaved back there?
No, I'll tell you, I get them damn, what the hell do they call them?
You get those shitballs all like tangled up in your finger hairs?
Yeah, dingleberry. I was thinking
dingleberries.
Strawberries, but I have tried to go on that Urban Dictionary and find them. I got them. They're dingleberries.
So you don't shave back there? You don't have a solution for that?
I can't reach back there and shave them. I would if I could. I mean,
it's hard. I try quite often. Yeah. You know, and I get lightheaded and shit because, you know, I'm like all, you know, I have to bend over in the shower while the shower's running hot water. I'm bent over, you know, and I'm taking a razor and trying to shave that hair out of my my asshole, you know, the sphincter area. And,
I'm hoping to keep it, it'll grow long enough. Or during the winter, I could kind of comb it over and keep the toilet seat warm.
Comb it over? You got an anal comb over, huh?
Yeah, I'll try it, man. I'll try it. But it's not working.
I'll tell you
yet,
right
so.
Now, what I started doing, I gave up on trying to reach back there because I'm afraid of a cut or something like that. So what I started doing is going in for bleaching on there.
Oh, yeah, the bleaching.
You bleach
them
and you can't tell you got them no more.
That's right. It gets all like blonde and white and shit,
it.
And it's like. You can't
see it.
Right. Yet the shit still gets stuck in it, though. That's the problem. When you defecate,
do women have these problems? Do women get ass hairs, too?
I think they do. I think it's a universal.
Michelle?
I think it's a universal problem. Yeah, Michelle. Michelle, please elaborate and. On this whole, anal situation. Come on now.
You bring me back to the conversation to talk about ass hairs. Jesus Christ.
Well, yes, ma'am, we did.
We're not asking you to defoot a candy cane or nothing. We just want to know women get ass hairs.
Yeah.
You would be.
We need a female
amazed.
Perspective here, Michelle.
You would be amazed.
Come on, Michelle.
Okay, what specifically is the question? Do we have them?
Don't skirt the question. Don't skirt around. Come on now.
Do women get ass hairs like men do?
Yes, women get ass hairs.
Wow, we heard it live from Michelle L. Quinn.
I was wondering,
Quinn,
there.
She would know.
I don't know Michelle Quinn, but I'll tell you right now what I'd like to do over there. If I was wondering if I could use that quote as like a blurb on my next chapbook.
Women get ass hairs.
Yeah. Yes, women get ass hairs, okay?
Yeah, I think that would be a wonderful blurb. You know, that. I mean, shit, that's the type of chapbook I would buy. I would purchase one. I'm like, you know, I saw a quote like that. Like, damn, I got to get a copy. You know, it's hardcore.
That's guaranteed to win a Newbery medal.
That's a dingleberry medal, my friend.
Absolutely.
Well played, sir.
So now we know.
This is by far the most interesting conversation I've had in a really long time. So I was going to say, when Michelle came back in and she brought me back into the conversation to ask if women get ass hairs, I was going to say you'd be amazed how often that is said by my girlfriend during dinner. So
What, that she gets asses?
Yeah. I don't know why she says that. I don't even talk. She's just like,
really? Wow.
Yeah,
all right.
We tend to just shit up in the middle of dinner.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
does
on,
she bleach?
I think happened is she's been with me long enough to where she's like, well, he's gonna say something fucked up because
right.
most of what comes out of his mouth is either offensive or he tells me I should get back in the kitchen or you know. So I think it's like trying to beat me to the punch, you know. We have a good rapport. You know.
Well, that,
that's the kind of gal you want
well,
to ask
the,
for her
yeah,
hand
that,
in marriage.
That's kind
I'll
of a good healthy
right now.
Good healthy relationship there. Good rapport.
Yeah.
You can talk about you know, affairs.
Yeah, compared to what I'm used to, it's like at this point, like when and we've known each other for a really long time, but whether like once we became official and I realized that the baggage that I was used to with past relationships, it was like, oh thank Christ. Like oh,
I have
thank
a
God.
I have a 2-part question for you.
Yeah.
First of all, number one, that's the kind of gal you want to marry.
Oh, I plan to.
And number, you'd plan on it. And another thing is, when you guys started getting like serious, did you update your Facebook status, like in relationship or it's complicated or something
oh,
like that?
Oh, I updated it, and actually, I mentioned my friend Rufus before. Before I started dating her, I, as a joke, updated my relationship status saying that I was married to Rufus. And then when I, and then, which his girlfriend, like, fucking hated me. Because he had been dating the same girl for about, like, 3 years. And she was so pissed because he hadn't changed it with her, but he let me do that. But then when I changed when I got into this relationship, he sent me a text message that was like, you just e-dumped me. Like, you know. But, to answer, yeah, I did change it. It was pretty early into it because it was weird. Like, I got into the relationship, and I guess because we've known each other for so long, it
oh, yeah.
like, everything sort of fell into place. But at the same time, it's really odd because we've constantly said, like, you know, I've known you since you were 14 years old.
Stop right there. You've noticed that she's 14, huh?
Ooh.
What's the
well,
age difference here?
Yeah, this is the
this is the complicated part, right?
she's 27 now. I'm 30.
Oh, okay. All right.
So
I just had to clear that up.
The,
so you know.
Yeah, I was right. Like, as soon as I said that, I was like, well, that's another thing I'm going to have to talk myself out of. I'm just glad that it didn't come out as I was trying to talk my way out of a traffic ticket this time.
Right,
But now, like, we've been friends more like we knew people, like, had mutual friends and stuff like that. But it's, like, weird because when we got together and started dating, we would talk about it sometimes. We'd be like, you know, it's really
right.
weird. I've known you for a really long time, and I would never, like, back in the day, never would have put the two of us together. But it's weird to say that now because now that we are, it makes, like, perfect sense. We're like, why didn't this happen a long time ago? But, you know, I mean, because I went through a lot of shit. She went through a lot of shit. So it's kind of like a collective sigh of relief, which I guess is sort of what happens when you finally meet the right one. You know, it's just like, oh, you know, everybody always talks about, like, you find it when you're not looking for it. No, I think that you find it and you realize that their baggage is different from everyone else's baggage, and you're like, oh, thank Christ.
What kind of baggage did she have? I mean, was it like leopard skin baggage, or was it just, you know, sleek black?
She was cross-eyed.
Yeah, well, you know, every person in the world has some kind of, like, emotional, like, things
right,
with them.
Right.
Everybody goes through different shit, and it sort of forms who they are. And everybody has problems, and we have problems that weirdly, like, or have been through things that really, like, kind of are like a parallel version of what the other one has been through.
Right.
Now, what I'm used to before I met her was, like, when I was really down and out drinking too much, like total alcoholic, the last girl I dated before I ended up in the hospital was, like, a walking episode of Intervention. I'm talking about, like,
mm-hmm.
one of those girls that would open a beer at 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, and, you know, which was, like, I learned the hard way, was, like, the worst thing than a person who everybody is like, dude, you drink way too much. Like, that was the worst thing I could do. And everyone before her, well, she was also, like, full tilt bipolar, which I didn't recognize. And, I mean, when I ended up in the hospital, she, like, called me and broke up with me, like, as I'm laying in the hospital, like, trying to recover. So she was, that was what she was like.
I think that Phil Collins fella, didn't he fax his wife or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Fax was all the rage back in the,
yeah, that's
the 80s. Yeah. Fax. Yeah,
I broke
absolutely.
Up with this gal one time about 1991, I think it was. I was with her, and I broke up with her on a pager.
Pager?
What did that number code?
Well,
did it sound like this?
I beeped her over there, and I beeped her that 911, so she knew to call me right away.
Damn.
Urgency.
That's kind of hot. That gets my left nipple hard. That's a hard thing to do.
I told her I don't think this is going to work out. But this guy's talking about here, and I didn't catch his name. But the thing is, is this gal you're with now, she sounds like she's good in a sack.
Is that
true?
Is this true? Good subject there.
Yeah,
I find that very important for the maintenance. And that sounds very sterile, I'm sure.
Yeah,
of a good relationship.
The
there has to be a healthy sex life.
You got
correct?
That right, friend.
That's right.
It's
absolutely.
Honestly,
all right.
Honestly,
wow. See, we have broached into some really interesting territory here.
Let's see. This will be the last bit because my phone is nearing death. So it's interesting that you would bring this up now. But without getting too graphic and with great respect for her, because she is a bit of a private person, all I will say is that it's, to answer your question, it's
mm-hmm.
the first relationship where everything is healthy. It's like that, and we talk to each other and everything. Like,
that's good. It's healthy. You don't want it to be like neon or nothing, right?
Oh my God, dude! Like every relationship before that, as I described it, was like it was always like something. It's like everything else was great, but there was like this one thing. It was like something about the personality, or it was some sort of like
or a punch like discharge. Yeah, I hear you, bro.
Yeah.
Discharge.
Sorry, Mike.
What?
Sorry.
I just heard that.
I just heard discharge.
What
did you?
What? He said,
you mean like she had leakage
yeah,
when she coughed
sure
or something like that? Or?
Yeah.
Here's a whole other subject. STDs.
If it looks like you popped a pimple down there, I mean, you know.
Wow.
That's
great.
That's not cream cheese frosting. That's not cream cheese frosting. That's all I got to say.
I'll tell you right now, there ain't nothing wrong with a little bit of, like, genital acne, but I'll tell you, it's a totally different story.
Is that ripped for your pleasure or what?
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing because it ain't contagious, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, genital acne, yeah. Been there, had it, you know. Yeah, it was, you know, I was very self-conscious at the time and it was kind of, you know, frustrating.
Well, something to hit your nose on, you know? Just kind of lean over and hit your nose.
Summer camp was weird for all of us, wasn't it?
Well, and here's the thing, you know, have any of you ever suffered from an uncontrollable boner? I heard this mentioned earlier today. Uncontrollable boner. And what does it mean? Uncontrollable boner. What does that mean? Is that something to do with infidelity or what? You know. And I'm going to take a quick. We're going to take a quick music piss break, and we can restart this wonderful conversation and move forward. We still have. Let's see how much time we got left here.
About a half hour.
Yeah, pretty much a half hour. Yeah. we can keep going with all this beautiful stuff. So right now I'm going to leave you guys with Cindy Brady. Cindy Brady and her lisp, because, you know, we're talking about sex, and, you know, Cindy Brady and her little braids and her lisp.
You got that right.
Damn straight. It's kind of hot. So we're going to do this. We're going to do a little Cindy Brady speech, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll tell you right now what I did.
Every year, there is one film that inspires audiences around the world. A story that touches our hearts and speaks to the human condition. This is not that film. There seems to be a slight communication gap in this family.
Don't you want to talk about it?
But I can't tell you. They said I talk funny. They said I talk like a baby.
Baby talk, baby talk.
He always teases me because I lisp.
You have to learn when to keep quiet.
What's the matter with Cindy?
She looks scared.
Staring at the camera, and she's got television eyes.
Itty bitty itsy bitsy baby talk.
Put these in my sister.
You know, I bet we could do something to help you get over that, Liz.
Say the word.
Seraphone! Seven silver swans swim silently. It doesn't any.
In your case, it's just a lazy ass.
A lazy ass?
She's gone with that swim.
His favorite face.
Hey, man.
What you do is you go down there. By the seashore.
About
I've been practicing. Now I speak really swell.
I went down there. I just got 4 minutes. I don't give a damn if it's 1 o'clock in the morning or not.
I don't either. Because you know what? No. I can speak really swell now. So, yeah, that was the Cindy Brady lispy interlude there. I'm sure it will provide all kinds of masturbatory fodder for many, many perverts out there, including myself. I just pissed to it, and here we are.
She had ass hairs. Now I'm going to be wondering which women have ass hairs.
You think Cindy Brady had ass hairs?
I have them.
Huh?
All of them do?
All the Brady clan? What? Michelle, what are you saying? The entire Brady clan has ass hair?
I'll tell you right now. Alice, when she bent over, she looked like ZZ Top.
Really?
Hey, do you want to do the tube steak boogie?
Yes, sir, I do.
You know what? That doesn't even sound legal. You know? Nope, here comes the police.
You guys like the,
here comes the police.
Like Little Debbie's. I'll tell you that right now, Bob. He's coming for shit that I own, friend.
Well, that's what happens when you start talking about Cindy Brady's anal pubes.
I was trying to figure out if you guys like them Little Debbies over there.
Little Debbies. Well, you know what? Here's the thing I find beautiful about Little Debbie.
Yeah.
And whatever, you know, ever since Hostess went under, you know, we no longer have Twinkies, right? So now you got the nice knockoffs called Cloud Cakes. They're called Cloud Cakes. And I do believe they are produced by Little Debbie. You know, Little Debbie has got to be getting off on the folding of Hostess. What the hell, you know, what the hell is wrong with this country when Hostess, you know,
I'll tell
of
you
all
what's
things.
Wrong with
There's something wrong with this country when Hostess, maybe it has something to do with Obamacare. I don't know. It's just not right.
Illuminati.
I don't give a damn who went under. The only thing I give a damn about is when I go down to the supermarket, they better have the damn Star Crunch. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, the Star Crunch, yes.
I don't give a
shit
if every company on earth goes under.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Little Debbie, she's got the Star Crunch going on. That's for damn sure.
I'm producing them, and I don't give a damn. Yes, sir, they are. I put my mattress out here in the living room, and I brought a damn box of Little Debbie's out there. I thought, well, there's got to be a picture on them somewhere.
You got some oatmeal pies there? What kind of Little Debbie's
you
got?
Ooh, the oatmeal pies. Those
I
are
just
good.
Damn told you what I had.
Star Crunch?
Yes, sir, I do. And I'll tell you right now, there wasn't a damn thing on television, and I wound up on your fucking show tonight. Isn't that great?
It is. It's beautiful, and it's wonderful.
And I'll tell you right now, who's that gal you got over there?
Anne Frank.
You guys all in the same room?
Anne Frank, yeah.
I bet Anne Frank had ass hairs.
I bet she did, too. Yeah, I have no doubt about it.
I don't know. I don't think her diary said anything about ass hairs.
Well,
you know,
you ain't going
to
find ass hairs in the Bible either, but I guarantee everybody had them.
Yeah.
I think it's a universal thing.
Read
the Anne Frank before I hit the showers, you know?
Yeah.
The showers, yeah, quotation marks, yeah, the showers, the gas
tank.
You guys
tank, ever
yeah.
tried
what are you talking about, man? It's, I really want to take a dump. What are you?
Grip on there.
Any what? I'm sorry?
You ever try that thing on there that you do in the shower?
What? Are you talking about the suction cup dildo? What thing?
No, man. I'm talking about... They got this thing that you do in the shower. You go on there. What it's called is the inverted drip grip.
Oh, yeah.
What?
You ever try that?
Oh, yeah.
No. What is it?
Yes.
I think I have.
I totally know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How about sharing with the rest of the class, then? What are you talking about?
I'll tell you right now what I'm talking about.
Okay.
That host of this show has tried it before, and I'll tell you right now, I don't know what your name is over there. Are you guys in the same room?
No.
Yes, we are. Actually, I'm, yeah.
You guys
I'm groping Mr.
Together?
Michael De Kaczynski's hairy asshole right now.
I was going to tell you to pull your weenus out and show her what that thing does over there. What that inverted drip grip.
Oh, yeah,
man.
The inverted grip. You know,
yep.
And, you know, that's, you know, you bring up a great point. That's one of the beautiful things about internet porn. I have discovered my left hand because, you know, I'm totally manipulating the mouse with my right hand.
Yep.
Like, so, you know, it doesn't have time to grope the penis. So my left hand becomes... you know, my special muse, if you want to, you know, for you,
dude,
euphemism. Yeah, my left hand's a muse. I think
If you do it right, Brian, if you lay on your left arm until it falls asleep, it'll feel like some weird chick jerking you off, man.
This is true. I've been there.
Now,
done I'll
tell that. You another thing I used to do, and this was years ago. I mean, this was years ago, long before this shit and internet and all this
yeah.
other bullshit.
Right.
What you did was you took the magazine and you found the picture that you liked on there.
Mm-hmm.
That made you horny and all that. You laid it on the table in front of you with your wiener out like that. And what you do is you fold the magazine over your penis and make a sex sandwich like that.
Right.
and use it like that. And I can't do that with the keyboard. It don't fold in half, you know.
No, it doesn't fold in half. But, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I experienced this back in the 80s when I found my daddy's Playboys.
Yeah.
Wasn't there issues with staples?
No, you don't.
Yeah, what about paper cuts?
Staples? What's wrong with you? No, you got the nice slick, glossy pages from Playboy
pages
or whatnot.
Out there.
And you just do the old good old in and out with the Playboy.
Yeah.
Oh man, I could write a Bible on masturbatory techniques. I shit you not.
I'm sure you could.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. It's there's nothing wrong with masturbation. It's natural. It's fun. And you know what? It feels really good. So fuck it. People want to judge me, then judge me. But so anyhow. Wow. All right. We've got 13 minutes left in the show, everybody. Yeah. You know what?
What?
I like the Kurt what? I don't know. We're just going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right
you're
back. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And you know, we'll,
union worker.
Yeah, union worker. Oh God, you want to talk about union plumbers?
Yeah, you know all about laying the pipe, right?
I have to tell you guys that.
Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had one long horn and one big eye. I commenced to shaking and I said, ooh-wee. It looked like a purple people leader to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horn, flying purple people leader. A one-eyed, one-horn, flying purple people leader. Sure looks strange to me. Oh, well, he came down to earth and he lit in a tree. I said, Mr. Purple People Leader, don't eat me. I heard him say in a voice so gruff,
I wouldn't eat you, cause you're so tough.
It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people leader. One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people leader. One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people leader. Sure looks strange to me. I said, Mr. Purple People Leader, what's your line? He said, I eat the purple people and it sure is fine. But that's not the reason that I came to land. Well, bless my soul, rock and roll, flying purple people leader. Pigeon toed on the coast, flying purple people leader. Friendly little people leader, what a sight to see. And then it swung from a tree and it lay on the ground. And it started to rock, really rocking around. It was a crazy ditty with a swinging tune. Well, bless my soul, rocking the flying purple people leader. Pigeon toed on the coast, flying purple people leader. Flying purple people leader, what a sight to see. Well, he went on his way, and then what do you know? I saw him last night on a TV show. He was a blowing it out, a really knocking them dead, playing rock.
Let Papa do the lamp, camel at home.
All right, yeah, so, yeah.
Let's hurt Pete Leader, don't we?
I've got a one-eyed. I have a one-eyed purple people eater.
Purple leader, call the camel Lee. Well, the camel came on the corner of the pie.
All right, we're back. And we're going to wrap this motherfucking show up here in the next 10 minutes.
Leader, corn of pie me. With the calipo and
everyone, you know, okay, all you guys, I got to ask one last thing. You know, since we've been on the subject of sexual encounters, techniques, et cetera, I got to ask, you know. I think threesomes reveal a lot of who we are, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, sometimes, no, seriously, sometimes you're the queen bee, and other times you're a worker bee. And,
yeah.
And, you know, I'd really like to know if, you know, given the chance of being a threesome, or if you have been, what do you prefer to be, the queen bee, the worker bee, you know, or just a voyeur?
Well,
anyone,
I'll tell
chime
you right
in.
Now. I'll tell you right now.
Tell me right now.
It depends on the sex of the other participants.
Right.
Because if they was both men on there and they's having sex, then I think I'd go and watch, try to find something on the television.
Good answer, good answer. Well, okay. Let's here's a different scenario. If you're in a threesome, you know, you and another female and another female, what would your answer be?
Well, then, sir, the answer to that question, which I've done that one before.
I have no doubt about it. Yes.
I'll tell you right now.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to me is it sounds like an excellent night on paper, but I'll tell you right now, I had an orgasm on there probably within about 5 minutes.
You could last that long in a male-female-female threesome, huh? 5 minutes?
Yeah,
wow.
5 minutes, because it, you know, I'll tell you right now, I was going to head on there 5 minutes, had an orgasm, and I slept the rest of the damn time.
Jesus, we need to notify Ripley's, believe it or not, 5 minutes.
Yes, sir.
All right. So what would be your answer for, say, a male-female-male threesome?
Well, I'll tell you right now.
Have you? I'm sure you're going to tell me right now. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll tell you right now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in that situation before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you right now, what you got to do, and I learned this the hard way, my friend.
Uh-huh.
The thing is, you got to have ground rules, friend.
Right.
When you go in there on a situation like that.
Uh-huh.
First of all, you can't be dating a gal, I don't think, man, because you think about where he's going to finish. And I don't want
right.
No gal of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Take
like
some man load and eat her whole. You know what I'm saying, friend? Because then I got to go home and I got to eat supper with her.
All right.
And I got to do all this other. And the thing is, I don't want him looking me in the eyes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that would be a little awkward.
Yeah,
right?
It'd be a little awkward. It'd be a little
awkward. Yeah, absolutely. So anyone else, can anyone else elaborate on the whole, you know, threesome scenario?
I agree with him with the, you know, the other guy. I don't want to picture my girlfriend walking around as a glazed donut or something. I just couldn't.
Yeah.
What about you,
Dr.
Quinn? Dr. Quinn, we need a female input here at this point. I mean, come on. Honestly, have you ever experienced or would you like to experience, say, you know, being like a rotisserie chicken there with two guys, you know, in front of you, one in front, one behind? I mean, or have you? Something tells me.
No.
I think you have.
I have not.
Okay.
I have not yet.
Okay, not yet. Okay.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
is it a fantasy? Yeah, it is.
Oh.
It's the fact you even said, It's okay. We're being honest right now.
It's probably something I'd like to try, yes.
Right, okay, absolutely. I can dig that.
I'll tell you to have some ground rules right now.
Well, if she doesn't have a significant other, then I guess she doesn't really need ground rules, does she? I mean.
No,
yeah, you're right about that.
I think the whole idea of being the slab of beef in a spit roast would be kind of gross, I think.
Okay. Well, you see, you're just debasing it too much by making yourself sound like it's some sort of slab of beef in a rotisserie.
I'm thinking of, you know, or what do they call it, the Eiffel Tower or whatever.
Eiffel Tower.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I mean...
Right?
No, I'm not familiar with the Eiffel Tower.
Eiffel Tower, yeah. I mean, if,
yeah,
if it's that
elaborate
crooked,
quickly.
He needs like a splint or something.
All right, anyway. Okay, so what was it again?
Penises touched is another question I have.
Okay, well, come on. Come on, Dr. Quinn. Come on. You're a doctor.
What?
And your name is Quinn.
Well, okay. What is the question? Focus me again. I've lost my train of thought here.
You want to have a threesome out of two other men on you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
This is nothing to lose. We got nothing to lose by talking about this shit.
Nothing to gain, either.
Exactly.
I suppose I could be down with that.
Right, okay.
So
surely you've thought about it at some point, right?
Sure.
All right, okay.
All right.
That's cool.
Because, all right, okay.
I mean, have you ever thought of, what about a what about a threesome, you know, male, female threesome?
I think that I would like to watch.
You'd like to watch, but you wouldn't like to...
Or actually participating.
No.
You would not like to...
No, would it be okay
no,
if
I'm
that
not,
person...
I wouldn't,
could,
I wouldn't
you,
participate.
Was your significant other or what?
Huh?
Would you be okay with your significant other being part of that?
Ooh.
I'll tell you right now, don't say yes to that, friend, because I'll tell you.
You know, you're
This
right, that might be a more complicated.
Yeah, this is a whole different show. You know,
I think you're gonna get a lot of date requests after this.
I think so too.
I'm gonna find you on Facebook.
Yeah, we all gonna Google. What's your name again? Michelle. What?
Can I call you Rhonda?
I like Rhonda even better. Rhonda the Wanderer. Rhonda Wanda. Yeah.
I don't want my girlfriend to have somebody else's semen in her mouth or on her vagina. And
well, what if he wore a condom? Would it make it okay?
No, I don't. What if I touch his wiener on...
What if you touch his wiener? You know, I think it's pretty safe to say that you can avoid that situation if, you know, you got to talk ahead of time. All right, guys, man, we're down to like a minute and a half here. This has been a fucking fun show. Oh, I just got the 90 seconds from the sexy, like, English-sounding... you know, blog talk radio chick.
Maybe she wants to have a threesome with you.
We can only hope and pray. And you know what? This might make for a great subject for our next show.
What will make a great
subject? I got a mattress waiting for me.
I just got the 60 seconds. Countdown. So,
right.
You know what? Thank you, everybody. Thank you for, you know, my co-host, you know, Mr. Michael D. Gasinski and Michelle L. blah, 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 who wants to have a threesome with a couple of guys.
That's fantastic. Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, no problem. You know we love you. Otherwise, we wouldn't have you on here. And thank you. What's your name again, Bill?
That's Bill.
Bill? Yeah, I think Bill's gone. Thank you, Bill. So we're going to, like, nod on out here, and it's been a fun show. Here we go. There's, like, 8 seconds left. Good night, everybody.
Good gentlemen.
Been real. Later.
Sorting socks.
Cleaning out the refrigerator.
Flossing.
Collating.